This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to 2 Chronicles. We want to pick it up where we left off last time with on chapter 31. Looking at the life of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah, one of the most godly kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. And Hezekiah brought much reform to the southern nation of Judah. We saw it 2 weeks ago. He was the first king since Solomon to encourage not only Judah, but all those that were left in the land. Remember, the northern tribe of Israel had already been taken, for the most part, captive by the Assyrians. Some of the people had been left in the land, specifically in the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh were the two larger tribes of the northern kingdom, and he sent wires out to them to come and worship with him at the Passover. And so not only Ephraim and Manasseh, but there were also people from Asher and other tribes from the north that came down to worship at Jerusalem. He also instituted a cleansing and a turning back to God and getting your life right with the Lord and sanctifying your life before the Lord. He told the priests and the Levites to sanctify their lives so they could lead worship properly. There weren't enough priests, as we saw, to actually do that. So the Levites had to help offer the sacrifices, and then later on, the priests sanctified themselves and began to offer sacrifices as well. This last time we met on Wednesday night, we look at all that he had done and finished, and that he had also, what he had done is he reappointed the courses of the priests, reestablished the temple worship properly, the first king to do that since David. Hezekiah did more things in his short period of ruling, the first few years of ruling, than any other king since David. And the Lord honored him for this. Today we're going to look at something that he has saw that was a problem and that he reestablished, and that is taking care of the Levites and the priests. Now, we remember when we went back all the way back to our time that we were studying and looking at the book of Joshua, that when the people came into the land and were the portions of the land were given, the Levites did not receive any large portion of land. The Simeonites, they received a portion of the land, but it was contained within the land of Judah. And so they were really, in essence, under Judah's control in that sense. But the Levites had no land. They instead were given cities and suburbs by these cities. And a suburb would be just a little area where you could raise some animals and have some area for crop, but it really wasn't much land at all. This was an agrarian culture. And the people, in order to survive, they needed to have cattle, they needed to have grains, they needed to have olives and grapes and all these different things. So they needed land to plant these vineyards, to plant trees, to plant their crops on, to have grass for their herds and their sheep and their goats. And the Levites didn't have that. They just had very small areas. In return for not having these, God had said that they were to be the spiritual direction, give the spiritual direction to the nation of Israel. Well, Hezekiah had been calling them to remember their responsibilities, and they were. But one of the things that he saw is the people weren't taking care of them. Now, because they had no land, God had made provision that there was to be offerings given on behalf of the Levites and the priests. And the priests were to take their offerings from the sacrifices that were brought to the temple, and that a portion of the sacrifice would be given to the priests for their use and for their family's use. And so that's where they would get their meat, that's where they would get their grain, would be a portions of those sacrifices. The Levites, on the other hand, were to be given, offerings were to be taken, and they were to be distributed amongst the Levites, grain and animals so that they had food to eat as well. Well, we're going to pick it up at verse 3 this afternoon of chapter 31. He, that is Hezekiah, appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons and for the set feasts, and it was written in the law of the Lord. First thing I want you to see is that Hezekiah didn't put on other people what he would not do himself. He had been instructed in the law that the king should have set aside a portion of his abundance to be used as sacrifices, and that his should be given first. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't demand that the rest of the people of the tribe of Judah and those that were left in Israel should give their stuff to the Levites and the priests, and he wouldn't do it. No, he actually followed the law, and the law said that he should set the example by giving first. And that's what he did. So see, the thing is, he lived by his words. He did what he said he was going to do, and he did what he said he would make others do. He did it himself. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. There was discouragement amongst the priests and the Levites, evidently because they were finding it difficult to live. If you don't have land yourself and you can't grow your own crops and you can't grow your own animals enough to offer the sacrifices and enough to meet your own physical needs, you could become discouraged. And yet you're supposed to be the ones of encouraging people to follow the law. So the second thing he does is he encourages the people to remember their responsibility. As soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, and honey, and of the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. Third thing I want you to see is the response of the people. They didn't hesitate. They didn't need to be coerced. They didn't need to be threatened. All they needed to be was told what was their responsibility and what needed to be done and why it needed to be done. And they immediately responded and did it. Part of the reason that this occurred is because of what happened in the previous chapters, where they sanctified themselves unto the Lord and desired to walk in that which would please the Lord and in obedience to His law. And so when it was brought to their attention by Hezekiah that they were neglecting their responsibilities and what the responsibilities were, they immediately fulfilled those responsibilities. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them in heaps. And so we see that when it says they're laying them in heaps, it means it wasn't, there was just a little tiny pile of stuff and they just, well, I'm not going to give a lot, but I'm going to say that I gave. No. They gave abundantly to the point that it says there's heaps. When it says there's heaps, it means that there was a lot there. They gave to meet their commitments and above and beyond their commitments. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finish them in the seventh month. So they began to bring the offering in the third month, and didn't have it completed until 4 months later. It shows you their commitment to make right with God what the responsibilities were. They didn't neglect them. They didn't try and get around them. But instead what they did is they fulfilled them to the full extent that God demanded. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps. Okay, verse 8. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and His people Israel. They saw what a blessing this is. And they immediately went to the Lord, that is, the leaders of the land, Hezekiah and his princes, and they're saying, these people have really fulfilled God's command. They've done what He's asked, and it's a real blessing. And they thank God for the people. And so we see not only did the people respond to Hezekiah, but Hezekiah in turn responded to the response of the people. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings to the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is the great store." By the way that this is worded, you can understand that prior to this giving, they didn't have enough to eat. The priests didn't have enough to eat. The Levites didn't have enough to eat because the people weren't taking their responsibilities seriously. And they weren't taking what God had said that they were in turn to take care of the priests and the Levites as they took care of them spiritually. They in turn were to take care of them physically. They hadn't been doing that, but now he says it's changed. Well, what had changed was the people's hearts. I remember a number of years ago we were on a tour, and we were in Petra, which is in Jordan, and we're going to the land of Petra. And I was talking to our tour guide, and he was Jordanian, and I asked him, I said, "So you are cousins with the Israelites. So why can't you get along?" He made an interesting statement, and I don't know exactly what he meant by it, but I think that I can see an application of it. He said, "It's the heart. It's the heart. There's a difference in the heart." Well, if you look at the Jordanians, which are mainly, that's where the first Palestinians settled, was in Jordan, and then you look at also many of the people that are in Jordan, even though the Jordanians get along with the Israelites, there's a difference between the Israelites and any of the other people in the Middle East. The Israelites will even help their enemies. Have you ever noticed that when you listen to the news? The Israelites will take their enemies that are wounded and place them in their hospital. I remember reading about the story of a young woman by the name of Gabrielle. She lives in the United States now. She grew up in Lebanon. But she said that she was always taught by people in Lebanon that the Israelites were their enemies, and you couldn't trust the Israelites. And her father got very sick, and there was a Muslim village. She was a marionette Christian. And there was a Muslim village, and the Muslim village always attacking the Christian villages in various ways. And her father needed medical attention. She didn't know what to do. So she called a cousin, and her cousin came over, and he charged her. This was her cousin, her own family. He charged her for taking her father and her to the Israel border so she could try and get help in Israel for her father, because she couldn't get any in Lebanon. When she got to the Israel border, the Israelites were there. They put her father in an ambulance. They took him to a hospital. She went with him. When he was in the hospital, she was talking to the people, and they say, "How much is this going to cost? I only have just a little bit of money. I had to pay so much money to get my father to the border, and I planned on using some of that to pay his hospital." They said, "Don't worry about it. We've got it taken care of." A difference of the heart. You see a difference of the heart here. Where before you had a people who were being motivated by the false gods of this world, by gods that were really gods of hatred and death, instead of the God of truth and life and love. And we see now that they have transformed their thinking and are walking according to the law of the Lord, their hearts have been transformed. And their hearts are different. And we see here that as their hearts change, their actions change, and they walk in obedience to the Lord, and they meet the needs that they have been called to meet. Verse 10. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store." So when God lays on your heart to meet a need of someone, he's asking you really to bless them. That's what was happening. They were blessing the priests. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them, and brought in the offerings and the tithes, and dedicated things faithfully over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler, and Shemaiah his brother was next. And so these two men were responsible for overseeing the gifts that were given to the Lord on behalf of the Levites and the priests and others in need, and so they took care of them. And Jehiel and Azariah and Nahath and Ashiel and Jeremoth and Josaphat and Eliel and Ismachiah and Mahath and Benaniah were overseers under the hand of Conaniah and Shemaiah, his brother, at the commandment of Hezekiah the king and Azariah the ruler of the house of God. So I want you to see that they set out an organization in order which this could all be dispersed properly. It wasn't put under one man's authority, but rather they put it in the hands of many to be able to distribute these tithes properly. And Korah, the son of Imnah, the Levite, and the porter toward the east, over the freewill offerings of God to distribute the oblations of the Lord and most holy things. And so not only was there the tithes that we're looking at, but there were also free will offerings. These are above and beyond the tithes. And oblations are things that were specifically given for specific uses in God's house. And next him were Eden and Miniman and Jeshua and Shemaiah and Amariah and Shechaniah and the cities of the priests in their set office to give to their brethren by courses, as well as to the great as to the small. And so the distribution went out, and it went out to everybody that had this need and needed to get their responsibility. And it was done in an orderly fashion. It was done quickly, and it was taken care of. So they went, it says, from the greatest even to those that were small. To those that didn't have much authority, even to those that had a lot of authority, but that should be receiving these gifts that were given to the Lord to be distributed amongst the priests and the Levites. Beside their genealogy of males, from 3 years old and upward, even unto everyone that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service in their charges according to their courses. Now remember, the courses were the responsibilities that had been established, first under King David, and then later on Hezekiah reestablished the courses. The courses were laid out according to the law of God, with the sons of Aaron being responsible for the temple itself and their descendants. So the genealogy of those sons, they go down and look at the male genealogies of those sons, and the males of those families would receive the portion for their course. And the courses had different responsibilities, and different portions were given to them according to the responsibilities. Now, I think it's interesting here, if you look at all that we're reading, it's done according to the males, not the female. Today in Israel, you're recognized as a Jew if you come on Aliyah, if your mother was a Jew, not if your father was a Jew. Being done backwards. That's not what God said. It was a patriarchal society. It was the father that was significant and important as far as genealogy and inheritance, not the mother. And we see that there were special provisions that were made at times for that. For example, during the time when they came into the land under Joshua, we know that Caleb had a daughter, and she went and asked if she could get her inheritance. And he gave her an inheritance, even though she was a daughter, because he didn't have a son. And we see that there were times and provisions made that if there wasn't a son, that the daughter would inherit, so that the name and the lineage of the father would be continued on. But it was to be done through the men. Israel has got it wrong today. They're doing it through the women. They're saying, for example, if I was Jewish, my family necessarily wouldn't be declared Jewish unless my wife was Jewish. And that's not what they're saying here. It's done by the fathers. Both to the genealogy of the priests by the home of their fathers, and the Levites from 20 years old upward in their charges by their courses. And again, it's distributed, it's distributedly orderly according to responsibilities and according so that you don't get more than you got coming, but you don't get less than you got coming. And God is honoring His word in this area. And Hezekiah is making sure that it goes forth. Both to the genealogy of the priests by the house of their fathers and the Levites from 20 years old toward the charges of their courses. And to the genealogy of all the little ones, their wives, their sons, their daughters, through all the congregation, for in their set office, they sacrificed themselves in holiness. In other words, those that were committed to doing the work of the Lord in their office, where they did not have the inheritance of the land of the other tribes, and their families did not, they were given their needs were met. Also the sons of Aaron and the priests, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, in every several city, the men that were expressed by name, to give portions to all the males among the priests, and to all that were reckoned by genealogies amongst the Levites. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. I want to see what Judah or what Hezekiah was different from any other king since David. Everything he did according to what God commanded and showed him to do. He also just didn't go through motions. He did it with his whole heart. He placed himself in it. We saw that back at the beginning of the lesson today, and that Hezekiah started by making his offerings for the sacrifices like he was instructed to do. He didn't demand that the people do it, and he didn't, but he started to show them that he was willing to really put actions to his words. And he was willing to live his life in obedience to the Lord, and he was demanding that they would do the same thing so that not only he would be blessed, but the whole nation could be blessed. He understood that by doing things according to God's will and in the fullness of his purposes and with doing it with your whole heart, blessing would come. And consequently, Hezekiah not only experienced blessing during his life as the king of Israel, which we're going to see some of the ways as we look at the invasion of the Assyrians over the next couple of weeks. But the thing is, Hezekiah always called on God and sought to do what God called him to do, and did it with his whole heart. We understand that that's exactly what we're to do, and when God reveals to us things that we should do with our lives, we need to walk in obedience as Hezekiah did, and as those that were directed by him did also. Let's just close in prayer. Let it help us to understand these truths. Help us to see how Hezekiah put it before the people to not only give lip service to their commitment to you, but also to do put it into action by doing that which you called them to do and taking care of the Levites and the priests and those that were instructed to be taken care of by the rest of the people. Lord, may we learn and may we see the importance of meeting the needs of brothers and sisters where the needs are made available and we have the resources to meet those needs and take care of them as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to hymn number 291.